This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horstman.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horstman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And today we're talking to Cody Calafiore. Cody is the runner-up of Big Brother 16 and the winner of Big Brother All-Stars. He is also one of only three players to make it to the final two twice. We talk about his time on the show and how a contestant's famous pop star sister drove the ratings up, what it's like to have just enough celebrity, and what he's been doing since the show, including working on his acting career and his role in the Amazon Prime series New Dogs, Old Tricks. Here's our chat with Cody Calafiore, Behind the Rose. Thanks for joining us, Cody. Appreciate it,
man. Yeah, appreciate it, Blake. Appreciate it.
We're excited to have you on, man. I always enjoy this because when it comes to like other, obviously I've been in reality world now.
Yeah.
Coming on 3 years. So like, I always like to see like other shows and other viewpoints on that. So
yeah,
I'm excited, man, because I just kind of got into Big Brother, honestly, within the last like year, maybe 2 years. And it's fascinating to me, man. It is fascinating.
Yeah. This is my second season.
Yeah. So I started watching a little bit earlier. I started watching like around season 12. That's when I started getting into
it. So I was going to ask that, like, were you a fan of the show before you went on it?
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of normal in that world.
Yeah. So I was a big fan of the show. My dad was actually like a super fan. And so my dad was like watching since season one, like all in on it because he was like a Survivor fan and started watching Big Brother. And so when somebody had approached me, it was never a thought of mine to do anything like this. And so I graduated college, I was 23, and somebody approached me about it. And I was like, dude, I love the show Big Brother. And when I told my dad, he was like, you have to do it. So that's kind of what like jumpstarted the whole like process. And so I was like really hyped up to, I mean, getting on the show is not what I thought was going to happen, but it was cool to, you know, go through the process, the casting and all that.
It's definitely the biggest social playing game, I think, out of all reality.
Oh, by far. I love the strategy. And
Survivor, I would say, is the other one because it's just different because it's a way shorter period, but it's way more taxing on your body. Like Survivor players, like they come back and like there's like bacteria.
Because you're in the elements.
Yeah.
They have like diseases.
Like, that's the one show, like all the other shows, you know, like that I've watched because I've been a reality show junkie for a long time. And so all the other shows that I've watched, I'm like, Survivor's one that I wish I could, but I cannot do. I cannot do that show.
Yeah. That's so physically brutal. Taxing.
That's a different level. And I think that's why in Big Brother, I think you have to be a bit of a fan of the show, at least to be successful on it. Because Bachelor Nation, you can hop on and have no idea what you're doing. But Big Brother, I feel like it's a completely different game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bachelor's a show that I've watched quite a bit. My girlfriend is like a monster Bachelor fan. She's like,
we'll definitely have to get into that then.
Yeah. it really does help. And it helps like, cause you can tell like the people when they come on Big Brother and it's like, oh, like, yeah, like I was out at a club and like the casting director, cause like they run into people in LA all the time.
Yep.
And so they're like, oh, you'd be good for the show. And those people come on the show and they definitely have a harder time than the people that are like fans of the show that like kind of know mistakes that other people in the past have made and are able to like kind of like learn from that and go, you know, but not to say anything. Cause one of the best players that have played the game is kid Paul Abraham, I think his last name is. He never saw the show, came on, went to the final two the next season at just number one. Yeah. He was a beast. He never know the show. Never knew the show.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. So you were obviously on, you know, your first season was Big Brother 16. Were you just at a point in your life, I guess your real life, if you will, that you just kind of were like, you know what, I'm gonna take this opportunity. Like did everything just kind of line up for you?
Totally. That's exactly what happened. I was working. So I was working on the weekends. I was dancing or like party motivating, hosting bar and bat mitzvahs. And then during the week, I was a sales rep for ADP. So I was working like six days a week, every week. Yeah, I was 23. I was right out of college. And so I was like, I'm just going to work. I was coaching some teams. I kind of like stopped that because like the full-time gig plus the weekends, I was like, I need some time. And I was kind of like burning myself out, as crazy as that is. I was 2 years out of college, but I was like miserable. I was like, man, is this all like I'm going to be doing? I'm just working. I work all week. And at a sales job, my hours were like, you didn't really have hours. It's like, well, if you want to make more money, like work past 6 o'clock, work to like 8 o'clock. And so I was just kind of burning myself out. And I was working a party on the weekend and some like affiliate to the casting was like, hey, I do casting for this show. I like help out. Would that be something that you're interested in? I was like, yes. He was like, go to this link. send me your information so that I could like keep track of it on my end and like just fill out everything. And I was like, what do I have to lose? Like, I was kind of like burning myself out. And I was like, this would be a cool, like cool break. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be like a cool reset. Like, I don't know. It was weird. I didn't want to quit my job because I thought that would look bad on my resume, but I thought going and doing something else would like allow me to be like, okay, well I could come back and I'm not going to go back to that job. I'll just find a different job that I like more. Gotcha. And then all, honestly, I went on the show and now I haven't even looked back. Like I'm in a completely different path in my life that if I hadn't gotten on the show, I would never be.
Isn't that wild to think like that decision, man, completely changed the trajectory of your life in so many different ways, you know?
Totally. It's crazy.
Because you got runner up right. on that season 16.
Right.
How did your life kind of change after that, man? Because I mean, I kind of understand it to a degree, yeah, but Big Brother fans are pretty crazy, man. They're pretty passionate.
I say the one show that the fans are bigger and more passionate is The Bachelor because the fans are wildly passionate. But Big Brother, it was crazy, man. It was a lot of like going around meet and greets, a lot of traveling, doing stuff like that. Stuff that I never in a million years thought would even come post show. Mm-hmm. You know, some people go on the show and they were like, bro, we're going to be huge. Like people are going to love us. And I'm like, dude, like we're going to come off and like in another year, it is what it is. Like, but like we came off and because we had Frankie Grande on our season, it was like, it was a whole new, because Ariana was like constantly live tweeting it, constantly going on, following up with the show. And she was just like rising to stardom, like the ultra pop star that she is. Right. And so like the show kind of had this out of control rating and brought in this whole new demographic. So when I came off, man, it was chaos. Like I was not expecting it. It was weird. It was a lot to take in.
That's super interesting that literally like one person made such a big difference in ratings. I mean, and for you guys, like it helped everybody involved in the situation. Yeah,
totally.
Wow. And that is pretty cool.
It made us totally more known. Our ratings were, Big Brother's ratings are pretty high, you know, usually, but our season had a lot of big personalities. Frankie was one of them. Mm-hmm. But then we just meshed really well. My first season was such a perfect concoction of like reality TV personalities in one house for 3 months that it kind of helped all of us, and all of us kind of like my boy, Zach and I, we were doing meet and greets all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it was wild. Nothing I ever expected, but it's pretty cool to kind of get a taste or like a feel of the other side, like what some of these celebrities go through, like all the time. Like we got like a little like small hint of it for a period.
Absolutely.
And then it goes, yeah. You know, like if I could take one thing away from it, I'm like, dude, that was the coolest thing. Like, did a meet and greet, like walking in a room and like young girls were like crying and like,
dude, yes.
Shots. I was like, what the fuck?
Is, man.
That's how I feel. Cause I work with a lot of NFL athletes, the top athletes in the world. And I'll walk in a room with like Von Miller. Nobody knows. Like, unless you're in Denver, if you're like outside of Denver, you're not going to recognize them. But walk in with like Blake or anyone from the Bachelor, the Beatles just walked in the building.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Or Backstreet Boys. It's insane.
It is crazy. That's why I say The Bachelor is totally, I think, even bigger. Because I think the viewers and everything and just everything is bigger and it's just more.
Yeah.
Like there's people where somebody will come up to me and be like, oh my God, you're amazing. I can't believe I'm meeting you right now. And then the friend right next to them will be like, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. Yeah, right, and I'm like,
I get that all the time.
I know, bro. It's like my favorite. I'm like, I dope. Like, that's fire. You didn't have to say that, but I appreciate it.
You know what I mean? My favorite thing to watch, like when I'm out with these guys, is like when the guys come up to the Bachelor guys.
Oh, yeah.
And they're the fans.
Yeah. It's the best. Yeah. Those are my favorite. Uh-huh. Like, if a guy comes up and is like, bro, I loved you on the show, I have to take a picture to show my girlfriend. Like, she's
going
to. That's my favorite. Yo, this dude's the man. Like, that makes me. So cool.
Exactly. I'll never forget when I got recognized by a guy for the first time, and I was at the gym, and this just yoked guy came. And I thought he was gonna like, I don't know, like, you know, say something about my lifting technique. And he's like, big fan, man, big fan. He's like, I love that show. I was like, yes, you know, I was like, that's awesome.
Gets you all hyped up.
But I think Wells said it best. He says, you know, we're not celebrities, we're just like recognizable.
Yes.
And I think it's the perfect amount of quote unquote celebrity, because living like that 24/7 would be horrible. Like, we get a taste of it, you kind of get a lot of it, and then it kind of slowly, you know, gets a little bit better as you move on. So I think it's like just the right amount of celebrity, because some of these people that get followed by Pap and like all that is just like, dude, I can't imagine.
Yeah, like I can't imagine. And that's what the thing was, is like even going out and like being at dinner, like people would come. And again, like you said, it's spot on. It fades, right? Because like for me, it's I was on Big Brother and then I wasn't. And so like the new cast comes out and then they get, you know, and unless you kind of grow and build into your own kind of platform or your own like entity, you're just a person from Big Brother until the next people from Big Brother come. So
yeah, because they're consistently rebranding.
Correct.
And your window is just super short.
Yeah. It is definitely cool to experience it. I'll say that.
Yeah. So when you came off that first season, were you single when you came off season 16? What did dating look like for you coming off that? I know it's not easy.
Yeah, no, it was. Other thing was, is like I came off and like I moved right back home. And so it was like my boys and I, like I have a very tight group of friends that are like my best friends from like elementary school, middle school, high school. Three of my boys I went to college with. So it's like these guys, like we go out all the time. And like, I just wanted to be single. I was in a relationship from my junior year of college up until right before I left for Big Brother. And so I wanted to be single. So it was just like going out there and meeting new people. And, you know, I was always traveling to these meet and greets and that's a little different because, you know, it's a lot different. You're not going to go and, you know, I don't know. You just don't want to get yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
But like going out and meeting new people was what I was all about. And then honestly, the next year, it's crazy. I didn't want a girlfriend. I wanted to be single. I just wanted to enjoy everything. And then the next summer I met my girlfriend. Yeah. We've been together for over 4 years, almost 5 years now. Yeah.
And honestly, like for coming off the show, it is hard to be in like a regular relationship because you are traveling all the time. You know what I mean? Like you are, I remember I was doing, you know, 2-3 cities a week almost kind of thing, you know, colleges and bars and things. So it is hard, but that worked out. That's pretty cool. So it took, I mean, and that was right when it was probably starting to slow down a little bit for you.
Because the new season, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the new season came out. So I was still like, again, like you become a little more fresh when the new season comes out. It gives you a little like boost again. Everybody was like, oh man, I remember. I wonder what Cody's saying about this season. So it kind of brings people back to like, you're back in like the forefront a little bit, but it was kind of fading a little bit. And then I met her and it's a crazy, you know, like it's just a random story where we met, but I had that whole year of like, you know, I was bouncing around a lot. And I think we met right at around the perfect time where I was getting back to, I had just started bartending. I was coaching again. I didn't go back to the sales stuff, but like I was starting to like work, getting more of a normal routine. Cause like, you know, like when you're bouncing around every week, you can't work that same like full-time job. My boy Derek from Big Brother 16, he was doing all this stuff and essentially had to retire from being a cop at 30 because it was like, you don't have any more time off, dude. Either retire early or like, you're going to have to not go to this opportunity that he has to take in order to work. And so
I got to the point. I worked for about 6 months and I got to the point where I was basically losing money by having a sales job. I was like, you know, I could get paid more than on a Wednesday night in, you know, San Diego than I could for a month here, you know? So, so you just get to that point. So it's kind of an interesting, like on a roller coaster almost.
Yeah.
You start to get the, like you said, it fades and everything. And that's kind of nice in a way too, but I do want to get into the All-Stars because obviously you crushed that. So we're going to do that up next. So I want to get into the All-Stars. Did you expect to be invited to that? Was that like something that you expected?
So no, because I thought like, I didn't think an All-Star season was happening, right? So I thought pandemic, I was like, they probably, because they start the casting process like a while before. So it's like, they probably have a group of people, like they can still, you know, it's not the same as when you interact with someone in person, but like they can still do a Zoom meeting. They could get a cast together of like new people if they get the approval, which I didn't know that was coming because it just, they got the green light like very late to do it. So like I got the call, it was beginning of April. Derek had gotten the call end of March. So like I'd known it was starting to happen because Derek got a call and was like, dude, All-Star season. I was like, damn, man. Yeah. I was like, you got the call. So I don't know. Maybe it'll come. Maybe it won't.
Right.
And it came literally like a week and a half later. And for me, it was like, I'm all in like 100%. Pandemic.
That's true.
Shut me down so badly as an independent, we're independent contractors essentially.
Yep.
And the work that I was doing work in real estate. I was doing work coaching. Like it was a complete shutdown for me. And so I was like, uh-oh, like financially, I was like, this is not good at all. Like I wasn't really getting aid. I was like, this is not good. And then the call came and I was like, done. I was like, I'm going on the show. And honestly, biggest blessing that I've ever gotten in my life, to be honest.
Yeah, so that was cool. Yeah, that's no super doubt. Cool. And how that process works. Did you, I guess like mind frame wise, did you approach All-Stars differently than you did season 16? Yeah, you kind of knew going in, like, what? Yeah, way different.
So much. The first time, I think just with age, like, you grow and you have more experiences. You know how to talk to people. You go through, like...
You know how to play the game.
Yeah, and I'd gone through, like... And that's just life. Like, life teaches you how to handle different situations in Big Brother. Like, I had pitched business meetings and gotten beat out by other people. And it's like, you reflect on different things. Was it like my dialogue? Was it this? Was it other things that went wrong? And like, then I started reflecting on my Big Brother game and was like, where was I going wrong then? And years later, you're able to reflect a completely different way. And I was like, I was very young. I was immature. I was not looking to win Big Brother. I was just looking to go on Big Brother. Mm-hmm. And so this time it was a business, like, for me, it was a business trip. I was like, I'm going and I'm not coming back without that money. That money is mine and I'm going to do whatever I have to do. Where the first time I was just like me and like just having fun and just loving the new relationships I was forming, but not thinking about game. I was just kind of like being myself. The second time I was like, you need to be a player. You need to prove that you can get to the end. And then when you get to the end, you need to be prepared to pitch people that you just sent home to vote for you, because there's like situations where people are bitter and don't even want to give you money, even if they think you're the better player, because it's a large sum of money to just walk away with. And so I knew there was a completely different game that I had to play, and I had to be, I still could be myself, but I had to be mentally in a different mind, like a different place to be prepared to play the game and not just, I couldn't just be Cody. I had to be Cody and play Big Brother.
Gotcha.
And so that's what I did the second time around. And again, you know, I can't say I would change anything now because I went to the end of one, but it was wild. It was a very stressful experience this time too.
So everything that you took away from season 16, that was the biggest change, was the social game.
Yeah. Well,
going into All Star.
It wasn't the social game. It was the Big Brother game. Like, the social game was there. Like, I can be social with everybody. Like, I can get along with the guys. I can get along with the girls. Like, that's what made me so good the first time. But I didn't like turn that social game into like, what is better for me? I was like, I was always making decisions like, well, I like this person more. Like, why don't I just keep them? Or now when they're going home, I'm kind of pissed. And I'm like, this is stupid, because now there are people that I don't really like as much as them. And the second go around, it was, what's best for my game? Like, I like this person, but they're kind of going to hurt my game. So I can cut my ties with them. Like, Dani was one of the biggest examples of that. She was one of my best friends, like somebody that was, I was so close with, but it was like, there was a point where I was seeing the game and being like, there is so much revolving around her that is going to crush my game. I have to detach myself. As much as that sucked, because personally, we really got along, I was like, I need to talk a certain way to these people so that they think Dani isn't someone that I'm like, yeah, I may be personally close with her, but I'm ready to cut her whenever I can. And that was different things that like helped me in the game. And it's more of that like cutthroat aspect of the game that I did not have the first time. I didn't have it. I was unwilling to cross people, and it hurt when I did, and it would make me angry, and I'd let my emotions get the best of me. Where this time I was like, dude, your emotions are out. You want to win this game, you gotta have your emotions out. And if the relationships grow outside of the game, it's because they respected your game and they still like you as a person. And it did. Like, I had the conversation with Dani like the day after. Her and I still are in constant communication to this day, like just talking like friends. Enzo, same thing. Like, so it's, you know, Tyler was somebody that I crossed and we were tight. Still talk to him. His girlfriend, Angela, is still like awesome with my girlfriend. So it's like, you know, you get those relationships.
Yeah. I think that's pretty cool too, because like Big Brother is obviously different in that aspect where like people respect you. If you know, you play the game right, people are going to respect that. And I like that aspect of Big Brother. So when it came to each season, which one did you enjoy more? You know, obviously the ending was different for both, but which one did you enjoy the process?
The process was definitely 16, because All-Stars was, it was stressful. Like 16, I went on. And a lot of times what people say is like, some people lose weight when they go in the Big Brother house and some people gain weight because you're sitting around a lot. You're not doing anything but eat.
You're stress eating.
Then you sit. Yeah. So like for me, the first time I gained a lot of weight, and it's because I wasn't really stressed. I was enjoying it. Like Derek was the guy that was kind of like making decisions. He lost a ton of weight on Big Brother. The second go around, I lost over 10, I think it was like 12 pounds because I was like extremely stressed out every day, lack of sleep. Like my mind was racing. It would take me like 3.5 to 4 hours to just go to sleep at night. And then we would have to be up. So it's like, if it took me 4 hours to go to sleep, I'd get 5 hours of sleep, like period. And so like I was losing weight because I was stressed. And so the experience itself, 16, but the outcome, obviously,
right,
all stars.
Absolutely, yeah. Man, that gets, just you talking about the stress gets my heart racing because I know what that's like, man. Like, dude, I know what that's like. Lack of sleep, the stress, the anxiety.
And it's like, you get it because like when you go into the producers and they ask you something, you're like, wait a minute. And then you walk out and you can't talk to anybody about it. I don't know if it's the same way, but it's like, they ask you stuff and you're like, man, hold on. Cause they did a really good job. The producers do a good job of just letting you like word vomit. Mm. And then all of a sudden they'll like pick and be like, oh, well, let me touch on that. Cause that's kind of, they just said something that is what I want to touch on, but they said it. So now I'm going to touch on it.
See, they make you think that you brought it up when really they wanted to bring it up the whole time. It's brilliant.
And then you walk out and you're like, wait, what the fuck is going on in this game? Do I have to read? But then I would do a good job of like being like, you know what? I can't let anything bother me. I need to keep playing my game. And that's what I think a lot of people in Big Brother, they get in trouble because the producers aren't like telling you what to do, but they're asking you questions and they're grilling you on everything. And then you go out and have second thoughts and then you cause yourself paranoia. And Big Brother, that's like catastrophic. That hurts you. Yeah. And so what I did a good job of this season was like none of that secondhand paranoia from after being in the DR. I let that affect my game. I just was like clean, like just come out and play.
Yeah.
So, but it's crazy. It's stressful.
Yeah, it is crazy, man. I think it's more, that might be more stressful than, you know, Bachelor shows, it sounds like. So what is like your proudest moment? I think, cause it sounds like you were very self-aware of this, you know, and All Stars obviously knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
Like what is something that you're like, I'm glad, you know, like you respect yourself for and you're proud of throughout the,
One of the biggest things, honestly, is when I took Enzo over Nicole. I'm not proud of it in the sense of like, oh, I'm happy I took Enzo, because burning Nicole, like her and I were just as close as I was with Enzo.
Okay.
So it was almost bitter, but like sweet, because I was so tight with Enzo, and it was just like, it was like Nicole went on 16, came off loved. Went on her second season and won, and that was on her third. Enzo went on his first season, came off like liked, and really didn't get a chance to like prove himself, like get to the final two. He could have made a decision that probably would have put him in the final two and didn't get that opportunity. And then he was like, he had his kids at home, and he would always like talk about things. It just made me feel better that I didn't burn him as hard as it was to burn Nicole. Like I would have felt terrible burning both of them, but I felt like, you know, like Enzo, I brought him to the final two, and he like, it just, you could see it. Like, this was like, he was always like so hard nosed and like, it's like, oh, yo, I rap in Bayonne. I grew up, blah, 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 all this shit. And then all of a sudden it was well, like,
plus if you didn't take him, the mafia was going to come after you. So.
Yeah, possibly the Bayonne mafia probably coming after me, you know, but it just was like, it was so cool to see his reaction. And it was so authentic that it was like, I felt proud.
Super genuine.
Yeah. And so I was like proud of myself in that moment, as hard as it was to do it to Nicole. It just was going through my mind. I was like, this girl has won. She's got, this money is in her bank account already. Like this guy. Yeah. And when he was on his first time, like they didn't get like this extra money and their stipends weren't like that. And it was just like, this guy, like the difference between third and second is a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I was like, it's just giving him the opportunity to like, at least like, you know, show, can I win? Like, let me talk about, like, give you the reasons. And, I think that was probably one of the more proud moments that like I gave that opportunity to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought it was cool.
It's really hard not to like Enzo, because he is super genuine, and he is, everything he does seems to come from his heart, and it's authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a couple things about Enzo, because that challenge before, I think it was the final three or for the head of house to get Christmas out.
Right.
When was that, the night moves?
The night moves, the final four HOH.
Because at the end of the day, you guys still accomplish what you guys wanted to do, right, is get Christmas out, right? But right, how pissed were you guys at Enzo in that moment?
I was pretty pissed. I was in the moment I was pissed, but I didn't let it like take over the whole like affecting me and my relationship with him. Cause again, that would have been playing and making a decision on emotions, when at the end of the day, it was still getting what we needed done in one move. And then for me, as like, I was just like, you know what? Like, I'm going into the final four veto. And it's like, beat me or else I deserve whoever beats me if they send me home. And I think that was a little bit of like my athletic, like, mm-hmm. like, you know, just like mm-hmm. in a game, it's like, if you want to beat me, take me on. If you're not going to, then like, you don't talk about beating me. And so I was like, you know what? We got the job done. Christmas didn't win the HOH, which didn't guarantee her into the final three. And I still have the opportunity. Like, I just felt like, you know, I'm going to take everybody on and I'm going to win the veto. And that was just like what I was running through my head every day. Like, you're not losing the veto. You're not losing the veto. And it was just like that. Like when I would go into like games, it would be like, no one's beating you this game. No one's going to win a header over you this game. No one's going to take the ball off your foot. Like, you just repeat stuff. I don't know. So there's a psychological aspect.
Oh, absolutely. A psychological aspect,
you know? And so like, I was like, you are not losing to a single person in this veto competition. Christmas is going home this week. And so I went out. So there was that aspect of, I was mad, but I was like, don't let that like anger kind of like hinder the relationship. Mm-hmm. And you still have the opportunity to get exactly what needs to be done in the veto.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm glad you brought up your decision between Nicole and Enzo, because I remember watching it and I remember being on Twitter and people were freaking out. Like, it was a big deal. You know, everybody's like, holy shit, what a move. Like, Cody won this. He's got it in the bag. Did you feel at that moment that not only that you would win, but that it would be a unanimous? Like, did you anticipate that?
Oh, in the final when I took Nicole, no.
Yeah, not exactly. At all. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I did not think it was going to be unanimous because I went into it and I was like thinking about like, who do I have a better chance of beating? And I thought in my head, I thought there were guarantees for Enzo and guarantees for Nicole. And in my head, Nicole had more guarantees than Enzo, but Enzo still had guarantees in my head. Right. So like, I was not expecting it to be a 9-0 vote. Cause I thought like Kevin was going to be a guarantee vote to Nicole or Enzo. I was like, there's no way he's voting for me. I thought Enzo had a very good relationship with David. So I was like, David could be a guarantee for Enzo. I don't know, because David and I just had put him on the block. Mm-hmm. Enzo didn't. And so I was like, maybe that could affect, because David, I thought, was a very like young player because he didn't play his first season very long. And then you can make those like it's not immature. It's just like that, like kind of decision where you're not basing it on game. It's just like, well, he didn't put me on the block. I like Enzo more.
David was the one Memphis was headhunting, right?
Yeah, David had Memphis was, he was going for him like in the, what was it? He nominated him second week. He won the HOH. Yeah. Memphis was going for him right away. Memphis did not like the fact that David didn't do well, because Memphis is like arrogant, big alpha male ego. And so he looked at everybody else on the show and was like, these people, I feel, deserve to be on Big Brother. He didn't feel like David did. And so, because David went home week one on his season. So Memphis had this like, I'm an all-star, I'm here. Why is somebody that went home in the first week? Like, I went to the final too. I'm part of one of the best duo alliances of all time. And then I don't think he viewed that for David. And then he was just really hard on him, because that was his personality. Like, he's just, you know, he's that guy.
Yeah.
And so he had it out for David right from the start. Like, he wanted to go after David in his second HOH week. And I was like, why are we going after David? Like, what are we doing? Why is David like a target right now?
Yeah. And that's like an example of emotions getting in front of the gameplay, like you talked about. Yeah.
Right. Letting something like that is so, it's like, let it go. Why is that something that drives you nuts to target him instead of creating an ally? Like, I tried to create an ally with David.
Yeah.
Until like we had like the falling out with, you know, between David and Davon and myself, that situation where he went and told something that Tyler and I said, because we were trying to help him, and then it kind of hurt us. So, you know, David was somebody that I just really like, because I think he's a good person.
Yeah.
So it was like, he was somebody I wanted to work with, but can't work with everybody.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. So you won Big Brother All-Stars, huge deal. And then I want to get in next to kind of what your life's looking like now, what you're up to now. So we're going to do that right after this. Yeah, basically you made all these tough decisions. I mean, you clearly were in the right headspace, man. Psychologically, like, listen to you right now. Like, man, I'm getting like jacked up. Like, I want to win through a big roll, man. Like, you got me all jacked up. But it seems like you obviously, that was your goal. So you won it. How did that make you feel in that moment, man? Because like you said, this was something you were like, I'm going in here to win, not make friends, not, you know, whatever. Like, I'm going to win. Like, how did that?
Especially because there was a lot of emotion shown between you and Enzo.
Right. And Nicole, like, I was devastated that I had to do that to Nicole, because Nicole, like, after season 16, Nicole's mom and my mom were very, very friendly. Like, very friendly. And so I just was like, it was very tough because in my head, it was not only like, she was like a little sister to me. So I was like, man, I'm burning my sister. Like, this is brutal. Then I was thinking about like, I know her parents. Like, I've met her parents. I've met her brother. Like, it's very difficult to do that because now it's like, I feel like I'm burning her. And it's like, I know it's hurting her parents. And so I was like, that sucked so bad. But it was part of the game. And I think like dealing with that, and then having to speak and then hearing I won, it like didn't hit me in the way that I thought it would. Like I would have thought I would have went nuts. Like, you know, like when you win a game and like you go nuts. Like you, like when we won like the state title when I was younger or the short conference when I was in high school, like we went nuts. Like I was like shocked. I was almost like an out of body experience. I wasn't like going nuts. And so it was weird, but it didn't hit me. It's still, like, I was just gaming with my boys the other night, and these are all like my guys, like love Big Brother. Yeah. And I was like, I said to my boy, I was like, dude, can you believe I fucking won Big Brother? And he was like, dude, I can't believe it every single day. He's like, every time I think about it, I can't believe it. Cause like, it like hits me in random parts, like random days. Like, it still hasn't like all like come over me that like I went on this show and I won. And now like everything is completely different. Like, I immediately came out of the house, like moved in with my girlfriend, have all these other, like, I just started streaming on Twitch, which is this whole thing. I have this team of people behind me doing that. And it's just like awesome. Cool opportunities that would not be there, like just wouldn't be there. And so I'm like extremely grateful for the producers inviting me back, for the casting, even putting me in this situation in the first place. It's just completely changed my life. And so I just love it.
No, yeah, that's awesome. Cause I was going to ask you, like, because like there are pros and cons, you know, to being on television and reality television, especially. Do you recommend people go on Big Brother's? Like, this is something like if your friend was like, should I do it? You'd be like, yes, do it.
Oh yeah, my boy. I'm like, bro.
Your brother was on Big Brother as well, right? Yeah.
I think if you're in the right headspace and you're ready to, like, you have to be in the right headspace to go on any of these shows, because The Bachelor is the same as Big Brother, is the same as the Challenge, is another one that a lot of the Big Brother people go to. My brother did, and it's like, if you are not ready to go into this where you understand there are people that are doing their jobs on the other end, these producers have to create a villain. And if you're not going, doing the right things, you can become that person. They want to create the one that everybody loves, you know, the heartthrob, the strategic genius. They have all these things that they have to fill. And at the end of the day, it's a television show. If you don't understand that, you can go in and get your head messed with badly.
Yeah.
And so, but if there was anybody recommends it to me, I'd be like, yeah, get yourself in the right headspace, make sure you are. And it's incredible. Like, I would never, ever go back and not go on Big Brother. It's a cool opportunity and it's a blessing and it's a serious opportunity. And, you know, it could do something for you that you never expect.
Yeah, I understand that.
I think all these shows can.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And even if you are, you know, quote unquote, the villain or whatever you want, like, it still would change your life forever, you know?
Yeah.
And there's still pros to that even, you know, like it's pretty cool to be able to build a fan base and a platform.
Yeah. My brother, that's what I said to him. Like, my brother, I say that because my brother was literally the villain on the season he went on Big Brother. Didn't understand like what is going on, like what came out. And like, there were people that loved him and there were people that like loathed him.
Right.
And so like it happens because like you can't be, there are people that love me and people that loathe me coming off as the winner. And so like, if you understand that not everybody's going to like you, it's not a popularity contest. Twitter and social media is the biggest like black hole of just negativity if you want to go down that road, but it also has such positives because there's people that are going to, you know, talk about how much they like you. And so if you're ready for it and you're in that and you're not going in to be like, oh, I want everybody to like me, you can come off in such a better situation. And it's a cool opportunity. It always is. Bachelor is a cool opportunity. The Challenge is cool. A lot of these reality, Survivor is an incredible opportunity, like Amazing Race, all these different ones that are on. They're all incredible opportunities like that you would never really just do in your everyday life. It's a cool opportunity.
No, absolutely. I completely agree. So you talked about Twitch and everything. What else are you up to now? You know, since, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that this, your season was, you know, quarantine. So like coming off the season was a little different for you, obviously, than when you came off your season 16.
Yeah. Especially going back to what we talked about earlier. There's no appearances. There's no.
Yeah, exactly. Right. There's none of that. Yeah.
Right. And that's the tough part, but that's why I like Twitch. So I started out on Twitch, which is an awesome platform to just like connect. It's almost like a live podcast because I was like, podcasts are, I don't know that I have like that. I didn't think I would do well with it, But I was like, I like interacting with like people, and like, I like having the video and like the face and the reactions and stuff like that. So I was like, either I want to do a podcast or I want to do Twitch. I want to live stream. And so I chose to go the route. My brother's doing podcasting, I'm doing Twitch. And so okay. Twitch is where I'm going to put a lot of my time. I'm starting off, I do it 3 times a week. Now that I'm in my new apartment, I'll have more of a schedule, but Twitch is really where my focus is going to be. And then I do, I still coach soccer. I coach youth soccer. And so my guys, that was like, I came right back to that. And the pandemic, like, we had outdoor sports. So the pandemic didn't really hit the sports. They were still going. They were going when I left and were still continuing when I came back. So I came back and went right back into coaching, because these are high school guys, some like eighth grader guys. And I'm like, these are like my guys. I've known them since they were 9 years old. Like, I'm not just going to come back and take a hiatus. I wanted to go right back into work. Yeah. So I did that. And now I'm focusing on Twitch. And then real estate was another thing I do, but I'm kind of going to let that on the back. I'm doing the coaching. I want to really go all in on Twitch and make sure that I'm growing that.
So when you say Twitch, do you game on there, or do you literally just kind of like interact with people?
I just interact. Just chatting is one of their biggest like categories. So I do, and I'm a gamer. I've been a gamer since the, you know, early on in like serious gaming. Yeah. You know, I've been like serious about it. Like, I played Call of Duty and SOCOM all the way back when it first was like big. And so I've played a lot, but I like the just chatting aspect, because the gaming, it's tough. You can't interact. So unless you're like a professional gamer, it's going to be tough, and it's going to take a long time to build up that viewership. Mm-hmm. But if I'm interacting, like, there's stuff I can talk about to everybody, because a lot of people that watch Big Brother, they also dip into The Bachelor. They also dip into The Challenge. They dip into Survivor. Mm-hmm. So like, I can come on here and talk about like, tonight The Challenge is on, Bachelor was on Monday. So I, like, Christy loves talking about The Bachelor. So I'll come on, I'll talk about The Bachelor tonight. I'll talk about The Challenge when I stream on Friday. So there's different stuff that I like talking about, but it's just live. And so I do it that way, but just chatting is probably going to be the bulk of it, with like some of the games where I could still interact with people. Like, I don't know if you guys know Among Us, like these games where you can like interact, because people still want to talk and get, they don't want to just watch you. If they don't love the game that you're playing, they're going to be like, well, why am I sitting here? This sucks. Here? And so, and that's what most people, like, they're not watching me on Twitch to watch me play video games. So I'm doing Twitch the way that I think it's going to help me kind of grow it.
Gotcha. So do you have any like long-term goals or anything that you're working on, down, you know, in the pipeline, all that kind of stuff? Obviously Twitch is your biggest thing right now, but anything else?
Yeah, I'm looking to get into, I'm looking into property investing. I want to see how that goes in real estate with that, because my buddy does it. He came back from Israel and has been big into property investments. And I'm talking to some guy that I had a contact with real estate. And so that's something that my long-term goal, because that's like, if you do it the right way, which obviously is like the same with anything, you could be making money without making, you're doing nothing. Your hands off.
And that's how you know you're doing well, is when you can make money when you're sleeping.
Yeah. And so that's my long-term goal. And I'm hoping that everything that I'm doing right now can build towards that. And you know, so that's something my brother and one of my best friends and I have talked about for years and years. Since we came out of high school, we wanted to own properties. And my one friend did it because he committed to it. And my brother and I are, my brother's starting to do it now. And so that's something, that's like my long-term goal.
And are you still acting?
Yeah. Well, so I think Hollywood's, it's starting to open up, you know, and castings were extremely slow. Nothing was happening. Then it was self-tapes. And now when more shows start getting greenlit to like, we can show, and there's less restrictions, because the restrictions are extremely expensive. And it's a lot. It's a lot of added stress to production too. And so I think now if shows and things, the, you know, everything starts opening back up, acting will, and then I'll be all over that. Like, I love acting. It's incredible.
And if a lot of our listeners don't know that you were a star of the Amazon Prime series, New Dog, Old Tricks.
Yeah. New Dogs, Old Tricks. I have a couple movies on PureFlix, or Christmas movies. Ivy and Mistletoe. So those are out. You could see those on PureFlix. And I think PureFlix just picked up a 10 episode series called Welcome to Hope. And so I'm going to start working on that. Awesome. So there's always different things. And I feel like I keep myself in a position where I don't have to say no to an opportunity that I have no idea. Like, you don't know if you go on an acting gig, if one gig turns into 20 gigs, or like, you know, 20 gigs could never like be
The big one,
like put together, you know, and they're small, but like, I like to keep myself open to doing acting. That's why the real estate's going to go, like, going to kind of put that on the back burner. And then the acting is always at the forefront, and then Twitch, and then I still do my coaching. So.
Gotcha, man. Well, you sound like a busy man. You sound like a smart guy too. So I'm excited to see what you got down the pipeline, man. Because I'm excited to watch you, dude. But before we let you go, I do want to talk Bachelor a little bit, man. Now, because you're watching this season, right?
Yeah. I'm not like all up on this season.
Okay.
Christy is all up on this season.
But where is Christy?
Because I was going to see what your final like three or four were right now.
She's. I haven't watched this season yet. Okay. So I like Paradise. Paradise is fun for me because I think Paradise is more realistic. Like Paradise is like, you know, people are going out. They're not like you form connections. I think The Bachelor.
It's more of a dating show. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a dating show, which is like you can understand that, you know, when they have the game, like fun game aspect to it was like, well, I like you more than you. So like, I'm going to give you the rose and hopefully someone comes better for me, but I'll still keep you around. It's like crazy. It's like a weird thing.
See, I wish more people would approach it that way, but they don't approach it as game, you know, like I wish that was the, you know, because I think a lot of people, especially the audience is a little different than Big Brother too, because I think a good example for me was I gave Christina a rose, but it wasn't like at that point I was pursuing Christina. We were friends. I was hoping somebody would knock down the aisle, but I was the asshole, you know,
I remember that. I watched your Paradise.
I had a rough season.
Your Paradise season. You came on. And I was like, damn, I was like, they're kind of dogging Blake, but it's like, I mean, like, what do you want him to do? Like, I don't know. I'm very open about it, but you know, people on The Bachelor that watch The Bachelor, I'm assuming the majority are like, we want to see you really go for love. Like, and you're not doing it, Blake. So,
and it's bizarre to me that like somebody, these people who watch a show that is like built around casual sex, casual dating, then get angry if you're not just all in on one person.
Right. My thing about The Bachelor is like, why are you all over people that act a certain type of way when like the show is all essentially built on the premise of you're cheating on every person.
And in all honesty, this is what all of us single people are doing.
Men and women. We're all dating, both. You know, we're all going on dates a week. Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so funny. I watch it and that's what has made me like kind of loosen up. I used to be like avid Bachelor. I would not miss episodes, and now like I'll catch up, I'll binge it, but I never missed it because I loved it. And then it got to a point where I was like, does everybody not realize that like I would never be able to date 25 girls at once, hook up with all of them every other night while they know it's happening, and then they still like want me and not call me an asshole? I'd be like, what is going on here?
Not real life.
The show, it's still, I mean, I like it. I get into it. Now I almost like watch it, I guess, because when I was younger, it was fun. But now as I get a little bit older, I watch it and I'm like, man, these people, I like see like a 30-year-old on there like going crazy. I'm like, holy shit. Going on here. I'm like, dude,
this season especially, man, I'm glad you're not watching this season because it's crazy, man.
Christy just was going off last night or the other night. She was watching on Monday. I did the live stream. She was on it and everybody was asking about The Bachelor. She went off when I continued on the stream and watched it, and she like was like mad about like a bunch of the girls.
It was a rough, there's a lot of bullyingness, and it's toxic. So we'll just say that it's pretty toxic this season.
That's what she said. It was very tough to watch. She was like, I almost wish I could fast forward through, but I don't know. I'll find out when I watch it, and then I'll be talking about it on my
We'll have to do a little recap with you and Christy then, maybe.
Yeah, we always like bringing on other people for the recaps.
And also, before you get out of here, I have a couple things to ask, because we got to give a shout out to Brandon McManus.
Oh yeah, my boy B-Mac.
Obviously, you know, we're good friends with him, kicker for the Denver Broncos, probably one of the best kickers in the NFL.
Yeah, he's a beast. Just a beast.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
He had a little rough season this year, though.
Yeah, well, if you remember early on his career, all of us were like, it was, I think his first season he did great. His second season, he missed a bunch of kicks. Like,
that's what happens when you get paid. You get that check and then you just suck again.
Yeah, we were like, oh, shit. We were like, B-Mac, please don't get cut. Because I feel like in the NFL, if you get cut.
Yeah, because they brought in another kicker, too, that year.
But then he bunkered down, and now he's been consistent, and he's a beast. And that's what he talks about all the time. It's like kickers are, for the most part, if you're good, they're the only consistent thing on a team for a long time.
Other you'd like, be 20 years.
Yeah. Outside of like quarterbacks. He's like,
outside of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking Vinatieri played till he was like 50.
Yeah. Dude, he was a silver fox kicking all the time.
So who is a better kicker in college, you or him?
Oh, man. Definitely. The thing about it is kicking a football is different. What B-Mac, I mean, I don't know if he'll tell you it, but he played soccer when he was young, and then he started training to be a kicker. And gotcha. So he's got, the thing I always say about kicking and kickers in the NFL is, if you take a person that played soccer and like, say I went D1 and for soccer, if I, my like sophomore year switched over and started like practicing kicking for like a year, I think I'd smoke every college kicker. we have to hit soccer balls distance accurately, like consistently. Like I can't just like whip a ball and just clear it. I have to hit my player on the run and right. then pop in. So he's moving. Like you have to have finesse in it, but it's a completely different ball. So if I don't learn how to kick a football, but right now, I mean, I might blow a hammy. I haven't practiced. I haven't stressed a lot, but I could go and probably kick a field goal like 40 yards. And I haven't kicked a soccer ball, a football like that. So
yeah, all my soccer players in college, man, they'd come out to the football field and kick a football. Yeah. I'm like, damn, I'm like, sign them up. You know, I'm like,
I would say that. So if I had somebody tell me at my senior year, you may not believe this, but make the transition, you'll get a full ride easier. Mm-hmm. And you have a way better chance of making millions of dollars playing this sport at this position than the sport that you're playing at this position. I mean, maybe at the time I probably wouldn't have, but like, I wish I could go back in time, infiltrate my young self and say, you need to go to a school and walk on as a kicker.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's just, you know, so I might be a better kicker than him. Don't tell him.
We're going to tell him. We'll tag him in this for sure.
Yeah. We're going to tag him in this.
He was the highest. He had the most points at Temple. He does still hold that record. No, so that's really cool. Yeah. I didn't know that.
So would you say you're the GOAT of BB?
No. No. Absolutely not.
Top five?
Maybe there, but I can't say the GOAT because the way that I played this season, I took it from so many of the GOATs that it's like, I just kind of like, I made it my own, right? Because my personality is different than theirs, but I don't know. I always let other people have that conversation. I feel like, what am I going to call myself, the GOAT? And then everybody's he's so arrogant. He's so full of himself. Look at him, right? So,
No, I hear you.
Plenty of athletes do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, how many times Tom Brady called himself the GOAT? I haven't heard it.
LeBron James does, but I don't think Tom Brady.
Which, when he did like the video, the Gronk video.
Yes, I was just going to say, that video is dope. Yeah.
I feel like if you have to say it, you're almost like insecure that you're not. Yep, so like, I don't know.
Like LeBron. LeBron's the most insecure athlete ever.
He's 1 million percent better than LeBron.
But we're not going to get into that debate because we're not going to get there though.
Oh, and that's a Blake.
And then will we possibly see you on the challenge? Because it does seem there's a lot of crossover with Big Brother.
There's a lot of crossover. I would have to say.
And you said your brother went on the challenge?
So he was on the challenge for two seasons. Then he's now had a break from it. He hasn't been on it the last two. So I think he was on three, whatever, but he missed the last two. But if the right, it has to align, like all, the right stuff has to be the right time of year. Like summertime into the fall is like not a good time of year for me. And so if there's an opportunity in the off seasons of that, possibly, but you know, I keep my options open again. Yeah. If the right thing presents itself at the right time, I'm not going to say no, it would be awesome. Yeah. But
it'd be a cool opportunity. I think it'd be fun too. I think it's fun.
Yeah, show, it's a blast, but I don't know how. Have you talked to people from the challenge? They go through a lot. Their bodies are a mess when they come back.
I just recently started watching the challenge again. Like I forgot, like that is a real challenge.
It's
like,
no joke.
They go hard. No, those guys.
And it's grueling on the body. Like you come back a mess. I know my brother both times came back. He got like the stem cell stuff, like where they took like cells and put it into like his ankles, his knees and his shoulder. It's like,
damn.
Yeah. It's grueling on the body. And I'm not young, man. I'm 30, dude. I wake up and I limp if I run.
Oh my goodness. You guys are babies.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, we may be babies, but like, I can't get up and go run a challenge and then expect to walk around for 3 months.
Hell no, man. Hell
come on. Come on. Like, Wes, fucking Wes and CT are still on there.
Yeah. How those dudes are. Yeah. Fucking
those guys
beasts,
are like
man.
40s.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've been doing CT's it for fucking 10 years.
Yeah. CT Wes. Wes took a long time off though. He was gone for a while after he did those young years. And then, but Johnny Bananas, he was on there through everything.
Bananas still going. Yeah. I mean,
those guys are animals.
CT's the GOAT.
Yeah. He's the GOAT because we like him more, but Bananas really has the most titles. So,
yeah. Ooh, there you go. Yeah, you got a challenge. Yeah. Connoisseur here. He knows all the challenges. Great. You are reality television. I love it.
Dude, I watched the challenge. The only time I stopped watching the challenge when my brother went on.
Don't let Wes hear this, though.
Yeah. Well, I said something on the live feeds about Wes and he like somebody like tagged him in. So now he says something to my brother about me every time. That's cool. It's funny.
I love Wes though.
He makes the show fun because he goes on there. He's like, I'm just smarter than all these people. And he says it and like, you need them, but you need people.
You
like
do that. Need that.
What's funny is he's been the same person from when he was like, on his like original seasons 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Same guy, same dialogue, everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
Well, awesome, dude. I appreciate you coming on. It's a lot of fun. We'll have to have you on. We were talking about for another recap or something, dude. That'd be a blast.
For sure. I'm going to start watching. I'm going to make sure I'm watching now, and then I'm going to hit you guys up and be like,
there you go. Hell yeah, man. And where can people find you on Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff?
Find me Instagram and Twitch, Cody Califuri, one word, twitch.tv/Cody Califuri, and then Instagram, Cody Califuri, one word.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. That was an awesome pod, man. It's cool.
Yeah. Appreciate your time.
All right, man. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all 5 of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world famous Grizzly Rose, or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.